Bibles this morning and turn back with me again to Matthew chapter 12. Be reading 31, 32 again this morning. A continuation from last week. Hopefully we can get through these three verses. There is so much in these three verses. And I encourage you, if you ever do your devotions in the morning or afternoon, whenever you have that set up, have questions or anything, you want to come talk to me and pray with me, we'll talk and pray any time. I love talking about the Word of God and getting down into the meat of the Word, because the Word is given to us as a guide for our life. And if we don't read it, we're not going to know it, right? What God really has in mind for us and in store for us, and the blessings that come from reading His Word. And sometimes we may say, well, I don't read because I don't understand it. We need to read it so we can understand it. And we never will if we don't. So last Sunday, our scripture was the text today, Matthew 12, 30, 32, which deals with unpardonable sin. And I also mentioned that these three verses are probably among the most questioned and misunderstood verses, or these three verses in the Bible. And I shared also that we love John 3:16 and Psalms 23 and others, but these three verses disturb a lot of people. So hopefully from last Sunday, knowing how the Holy Spirit works in our life today, and the other two points today, we'll know better, have an understanding of the unpardonable sin. So, Matthew 12:30. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him. Either in this age or in the age to come. Now we learn that the Holy Spirit is doing, we learned that last week, what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives today. We understand that the Holy Spirit has many, or I say manifold purposes in our lives as Christians. But just what does Jesus mean when he warns that the threatening the Holy Spirit with blasphemy or the contempt cannot be forgiven? So first of all, let's look, what is this unpardonable sin of which Jesus warns? To understand where Jesus is coming from, and Jesus spoke these words, and he always speaks to encourage us, to warn us against things that will harm us and can be life and death eternally. And Jesus's sole purpose coming to this earth was to save us from sin. He came to this earth. And that's why it is so important when we take communion together to remember that Jesus really paid a sin debt for each one of us. He paid a sin debt so high that we cannot do that ourselves, because we're the perpetrators, right? We're the ones that put Jesus in the position, and God sent his Son to this earth in order that we wouldn't perish. If God didn't have a plan B, if you might call it that, from even back in the Old Testament. See, God, from the very beginning of time, as it tells us in Ephesians, that He understood, and that He understands our life, but He doesn't condone our evil, wicked ways. But He provided a way for each one of us. And Jesus' warning to us is about the unpardonable sin, and we need to take heed to it. So at the time that Jesus was speaking, the Jews had their own teachings about the Holy Spirit. You see, we can have our own teachings, but it doesn't matter what we think or what we do. It's what Jesus says. And when He points things out in our lives that are offensive, that are evil, that are wrong, we can't argue with the Lord like the Pharisees did, or try to debate Him, because guess who's going to lose? We are. And the Pharisees lost. Satan has already lost the battle. So we must say, Lord, You're right. And sometimes a lot of people find out too late before they realize they are wrong. So, according to the Jewish teaching, the Holy Spirit had two supreme functions. First of all, the Holy Spirit brought God's truth to men. Now, when I say men in the Bible, it expresses all mankind. That means everybody, whether you're male, female. When the Bible speaks of men, that means mankind. So the Holy Spirit, first of all, was also God's instrument in helping us to come to know God's will for us. Then secondly, the Holy Spirit enabled men to recognize and understand God's truth when they saw it. You see, when we see it and we recognize it and we know that it's for our good, then we see it, we recognize it, and we do something about it. And then the second part of this also is the Holy Spirit works upon the heart, minds of men. You see, the Holy Spirit is always at work in our hearts and in our minds to perfect us, to bring us to the level of understanding that we can have the mind of Christ. Many people might not think so. How could we have the mind of Christ when we're so imperfect? Well, we are to be thinking like Christ. Therefore, we can have the mind of Christ. So when we think about our heart, soul, and mind, that's what the Holy Spirit's work can do in our lives. So therefore, man needs the Holy Spirit both to receive and to recognize God's truth when we see it. To put it in another way, the Holy Spirit is working on us to cause us to believe in Jesus Christ, to bring us to accept Him as our Lord and Savior. And Jesus made that very plain right here. He said, you can speak against Me, but do not speak blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But we dare not forget a very important principle to life as well. What we don't use, we can lose, right? And that goes with the physical body as well. Tell you, the principle is true in almost every area of our life. First of all, it's true physically. If we cease to use or exercise certain muscles, guess what happens? And the springtime is here, and you've laid to the side and rested in your recliners all winter long. You haven't exercised or done anything, and now You exert your body to the extreme, and you wonder why you have all the aches and pains, right? Because you hadn't used some of those muscles, right? Have we? I thought I've used all my muscles up to this week to bring the war in me out with the physical conditions of the things outside that, you know, needed to get done, as, you know, Bob was saying. There you go. But we don't exercise and use our bodies physically and try to keep fit, then we're going to feel the downside of that. Another thing for us to look at is the mental. Most of us learn things in school that we have since completely forgotten, right? Can you all remember what you learned in school? Everything? We need to be reminded, because we haven't used them in years. See, maybe it was foreign language. How many of you can still speak your foreign language? The only thing I have to do, I can go back and look at Greek and Hebrew, and because, you know, something that you practice and use on a daily basis as far as studying and reading and stuff like that. Spanish and stuff like that, and I'm lost. Or how to play a musical instrument. How many of you, when you were young, played a musical instrument of some sort? Whether you was in the band or whatever, can you still do that? Would you want to do it? Or try to do it here in a setting like this? If we don't do it, we lose it, don't we? The knowledge we had once long since gone because we didn't exercise and make use of it. And I hope you see where I'm going with this morning. And this is true morally. We can lose the ability to enjoy good, clean fun if we spend long enough in seeking our pleasure among those things which are spoiled or degraded. And what we see and hear and with what kind of people and pleasures we indulge ourselves can really make a difference in life and death. We also lose the ability to be moved. And I want you to understand this. We lose the ability to be moved and changed by God's goodness and truth when the Holy Spirit presents itself. And we never want to come to that place where we are not moved and we're not changed in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we see where I'm going with this. This is what Jesus is talking about this morning with the people he dealt with back in his time when he was here on earth. People that was with Jesus daily. Some of the high priests and the Pharisees and those that were among Jesus and got to enjoy his presence, they failed to be sensitive and they would not be changed and therefore committed the unpardonable sin. See, if we consistently shut our eyes and our ears to God's ways and insist on our own way, if we continually refuse to listen to the guidance of God's word that he offers us and turn our backs on the messages which the Holy Spirit brings, if we continue to prefer our own ideals, and the Bible is full of those that had their own ideals against the Lord, to the ideals that God is seeking to put into our hearts and in our minds, then in the end, we will come to the stage where nothing the Holy Spirit seeks to do will move us or change us in any way, if that ever happens. Now, that is the stage to which the Pharisees had come. They wasn't willing to be moved, and they weren't willing to be changed inwardly. They shut their ears and they closed their eyes to the prophecy of Jesus. And you see, the Holy Spirit was just as present then as he is today. And yet, they had Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Heavenly Father, which they were very aware of from the very beginning of time, weren't moved or changed by the presence and a wooing of the Holy Spirit. Now, they had so long been blind and deaf to the guidance of God's hand, they had insisted on their own way for so long that they had come to the stage where they could not recognize God's truth and goodness when they saw it. And you know, we can go back to the Old Testament when the children of Israel was rescued from Egypt. And God showed his mercy and his kindness. And often the Bible talks about loving kindness, which the Jews and the Hebrews knew all about God's loving kindness. And he shows loving kindness to us today. And the Hebrew word for loving kindness is hesed. So they knew when Moses or any of those talked about hesed of God, the loving kindness of God, they knew that. And at certain points in their life, they were moved by just those few words that were spoken. And they were changed in some ways. But when they drifted away from the presence of the Holy Spirit work in their life, then the inwardly part of their human side kicked in. Then they closed their ears and closed their eyes. They were blinded and they were deaf to the work of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came on the scene and was confronted with all the people in his time, a lot of them was with Jesus. We understand what you're saying, Jesus, but those who was holding to the law and not the grace of God for the forgiveness of sin says, we don't want to hear it. And that's rejection. And it's dangerous to ever be at the part in your life or anyone's life that rejects the Holy Spirit. So what is the sin against the Holy Spirit? The sin against the Holy Spirit is the sin of so often and consistently refusing God's will that in the end we no longer even recognize it. And when it comes, it loses all power. So why do that sin be unforgiven? So what can makes it so worse than all other sins? You know, we usually characterize sins in the Bible. But when God sees sin, no matter how big or little we can think they are, sin is sin. But in comparison with the rejection of the Holy Spirit, that is the ultimate sin that anybody could ever commit. So the answer is pretty simple. You know, when someone reaches that stage, repentance becomes impossible. If we cannot recognize good when we see it, we can't desire the good. If we do not recognize evil and being evil as being evil, we can't be sorry for it and hate it and wish to change for the better. If we cannot love the good and hate the evil, then we can't repent. And if we do not repent and cannot be forgiven, because repentance is a vital condition of forgiveness. And you see, that was the stage that the Pharisees had come to. They had no longer been deliberately, they had so long become deliberately blinded and deaf to God, and they had lost their ability to recognize that God when they were confronted by Him, when Jesus confronted them. And you see, Jesus was always compassionate to everyone. He was willing to listen to them, hoping that they would understand that their questions were for the wrong reasons. In that day, when you would hear it that Jesus was a Son of God, and you want to confront Him and debate Him about the things of life, about the things of eternal life, it would be foolish, wouldn't it? And for anyone, for us to debate the Bible and say it's foolish, is wrong as well today. See, it was not God who had shut them out. They had shut themselves out, for the years of resistance to God had made them what they became, shutting the Lord out. See, there is a dreadful warning here, as Jesus points it out in these three verses. So we must so pay attention to God's will in all of our days that our sensitivities will never be dulled. That our awareness is never dimmed. That our spiritual hearing never becomes spiritual deadness. See, it's the law of life that we will only hear what we are listening for. And what we have fitted our ears for, it's like the illustration I used last Sunday, just as a reminder of the farmer coming to the city and to see his friend. And being so conditioned to the country and his style of living, and being in the city and heard an insect, it was a grasshopper, and the other man, his friend, did not detect it. You see, it's what we become accustomed of, the sensitivity of our environment, our lifestyle. And if our lifestyle is putting the Lord Jesus Christ first and listening to His Spirit work in our lives daily, whether it be through the Scripture, whether it be through praying, whether it be in communication with other Christians and listening to them, listening to their praises, listening to their concerns, listening to their questions, and continuing our presence and our fellowship with the Lord, then we understand that listening and hearing what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us today is very vital for our eternal life. See, we want to stay away from the neutral zone. And when Jesus talks about that in Revelation chapter 3, talking to the Laodicean church, that you don't want to be in the middle. He'd rather have you either hot or cold. And there is a neutral zone. And there's so many people in this world today is right in the neutral zone. They don't want to make a decision for the good, and they're not sure about the bad. But if we listen to Satan, we're going to go his direction, right? So there is a neutral zone. Separating North Vietnam from the South during probably more than a decade of battle was a demilitarized zone, right? Remember that? A kind of no man's land, burned over and barren. Rivers and mountains and man-made walls have served the same purpose. You know, the wall there in Germany. Ronald Reagan said, Khrushchev, let that wall come down. It's a neutral zone. Neutral, open space where both sides watch and neither stakes out a claim. No such place exists in the spiritual battle waged between God and Satan. See, people must get over to God's side if we are wandering in the middle. God don't want us in the middle. You know, he said either be hot or be cold. Be for me or you're against me. A kingdom divided against itself. If you read above, before that, is laid to waste. A city or house divided against itself will not stand. But whoever is with me will stand forever and ever. So we need to stay on God's side. When you're curious about life and on the edge, you know, we need to take part in the struggle on the front lines where witnessing hurts sometimes, right? When witnessing as a Christian, we need to, you know, take God's side even when it hurts. Get out of our comfort zone. And few Christians are strong enough to support a church. Really support a church or God's church. Let me say it that way. Don't be fooled about finding a neutral zone claimed by no other side at all, because there is a neutral side. So we see what Jesus is talking about here when he's talking about the unpardonable sin. And if you're here today thinking, have I ever committed that? Well, if you're a Christian, you haven't. But I've talked to so many people who said they were Christians and now have drifted from that, and that is dangerous. It is very dangerous to continue to move in that direction, not thinking about their once relationship with Jesus Christ, and they're saying, no God, there's no God, I don't believe in it anymore. That's dangerous. And that's moving in the direction of what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is mainly talking to the unbelievers. For the Christians, though, you know, we have the hope. And that's why our hope keeps us alive. When we take the Lord's Supper, it's a reminder of our commitment that we have made to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's very important for us as Christians, to keep the things that we know in our hearts that are real and that are true, to practice those so that our faith will continue to grow into something that we will know will glorify the Heavenly Father. And when we do that, you see, we are blessed and God will be glorified on that behalf. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that you always have us in the heart of your kingdom. And Lord, we thank you this morning as we look forward to taking communion together, the bread and the cup, that symbolizes the death that you paid upon Calvary. And Lord, we thank you that you shared the words about the unpardonable sin, about the Holy Spirit. And Lord, sometimes the Holy Spirit is our most neglected friend. And he should be right in the front of our foreknowledge and our minds and our hearts to call upon any time, no matter what state of mind, what condition we're in, we can always depend upon the Holy Spirit to rescue us, to set us back on solid ground, to bring us to a point of understanding, Lord, of your great love. In this invitation this morning, Lord, we pray And we thank you that you're already working in each one of our lives, perfecting us and helping us to understand your work, your life, in relationship, Lord, where you want us to be. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your work and your Holy Spirit in this service today. And it's your precious name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation.